In the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and the 20th verse. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This was a very searching and solemn time in the experience of the children of Israel. It was a time where the Lord was to test them, what they really were, how they lived, whom they served. And you know, there are times of solemn testing that the Lord brings upon his dear people, and we need much grace how we should live and how we should walk in that testing time. Because if you and I have got a real religion, it's got to be proved. And the Lord will ever prove his own work, his own word. And he approved the souls of his people, where they really stand when it comes to the vital things of God. The Lord, you see, he sees us exactly as we are. We read in the Word, don't we, that the Lord looketh at the heart. Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. And he sees each one of us this day exactly how we are before him. Everything is revealed, even the secrets of the heart are known to God. And he says here in the verse previous to our text, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This word has been much upon me for several days now, particularly this in the verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record. And you see, the records of all our lives, all our thoughts, all our actions, From the very day we breathed our first breath are all recorded in heaven. And the Lord sees exactly all the sins that have been committed, whether they are outward, whether they are inward, they're all known to him. And here he saw the sins of the children of Israel as they journeyed. And there was that, as he says here, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Why? Because they had sinned and grieved the Lord. Many times they turned to idols and to other gods. Many times they forgot the Lord. And the Lord was to testify against them. But then he puts them to the test where they really should stand. He says that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, and what an exhortation Moses was to give them here, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, the vital point is this, and it's been watch upon me for a few days. What are we choosing? You think the dividing line goes right through this chapel, right through Howsham town and every village and every town and every city of England. What are we choosing? With the Lord's dear chosen children, they will choose life. Whereas the carnal, natural man will choose death. Solemn, you know, to go right through life and then to be plunged into not only death, each one of us will die naturally, but what is so solemn is the death of the soul. Eternal death and damnation. And those that choose the world, or choose natural religion, or choose things that are just temporal and of the flesh, if they die in that condition, hell will be their portion. And so it will be ours. But what I want to look at as help, particularly as we bring the subject before you this morning, is this. May we be found, first of all, among those the Lord has chosen. And yet that comes very close, because Christ said himself concerning the 12, you 12 have I chosen, but one of you is a devil. Judas was chosen to be a disciple of the Lord, but he never knew anything of God's eternal choice to his soul. And may we lay that to heart today. Because here he says, therefore choose life. Now the second thing is this. The Lord will make his choice our choice. Our choice, his choice. Oh, he will. Our choice will be his choice. We read in the Psalms, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now you look at Saul of Tarsus. He was one of God's chosen children. But look at him in those early days of his life. What was he choosing? He was choosing a Pharisaical religion and was brought up in it in the most straitest sect of it. And that was his choice by nature. And so it is man's. You see, you dear young ones here this morning, you may say, well, I want to choose this career and that career, and it's right we should choose a career in life. But may that not be our God. We can have a good choice of occupation, but serve Satan or serve the Lord. There's this choice, you see. But oh, may our choice be God's choice. Now let me prove it to you in two occasions in the Word of God. Just to tarry before I do that with Saul of Tarsus, the day came where the Lord made Saul willing to choose the path of God's elect. Oh, he did. And you know, on that Damascus road, the Lord set before him the solemn issues of hell, if he chose that, or the solemn and yet sacred issues of life and eternal life. And there they were before him. And you know, when the Lord begins the work of grace, it may only be in a very little way, he had put before the sinner these two choices. They either choose the world and its pleasures and go on wallowing and wallowing in sin and hell be their portion, or he has set before them the choice that he set before Ruth. And you look at those two daughter-in-laws of Naomi. When they came out of Moab, they both came out with her. And the Lord set before them both a choice. They either went with Naomi and Naomi's God, or they went with the gods and pleasures of Moab. And that choice was set before them both. And because the Lord had chosen dear Ruth to be one of his dear children, and here we see elect in love, she was willing to choose what Naomi's choice was, and that was to go with his people and to have the Naomi's God at her, as her God. So he says here, therefore choose life. Think of what it says before that. That I have set before you life or death. Now you think of these two things today. You say, no, really search me, this word as it came. Set before you. The Lord sets it before each one of his people. He set it before Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road. Life or death. And he set it before dear Ruth and before Orpah, as they came out of Moab. And what do we read? Orpah chose death. She went back to her gods and to her people, and death was stamped upon it. And then, what about Ruth? Oh, that's a sweet language, isn't it, that's found in the heart of that dear woman. When Naomi, and look at the grace, I've often thought about it in Naomi. She puts them, and come back to my beginning this morning, she put them to the test. She says, go back to thy gods and to thy people. Now that's what Orpah did. That was her choice. But look at Ruth. What does she say? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And look at the choice she made, and look at the blessing there was in it. He says, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Oh, that we may be made willing. And you see, the difference between Ruth and Orpah was this. The Lord had made dear Ruth willing to choose the path of God's elect. She was made willing. And he'll make every one of his dear people willing. We read in Psalm 110 that sacred word, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You see, we've got an old nature that will choose the world, choose everything of this earth, choose the pleasures of sin. But the Lord, under his grace, as he manifests that grace to sinners, will make them willing to choose what Moses did. And you see, Moses could speak this word from experience to the children of Israel. It was not just Moses speaking, it was the Lord speaking. And you think of what the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11 on that blessed catalogue of those that had all died in faith. And you think of what he said concerning dear Moses. There's some wonderful words, isn't there, recorded concerning dear Moses. And we read this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, these souls that are willing, made willing by God to choose the path of life, there are much they have to refuse. They have to refuse the world. They have to refuse the company of the world. They have to refuse the pleasures of the world. They refuse all natural religion. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But then we read this, and it's a blessed word, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, this was Moses' choice. Is it yours? Is it mine? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, if we got a real religion, it'd cost us much. But this will be our choice. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then the apostle went further, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, there's 4 vital things there in those few verses concerning Moses, which must be known in the hearts of every one of God's children. The first, the refusing. The second is choosing. The third is esteeming. Now look in your heart and what mine. What do we esteem the most? Is it the world or a precious Christ? He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, if Moses had been allowed to stay in Egypt, he would have been the Pharaoh. And everything in Egypt was his. But you see, if he lived in that state and died in that state, the Lord showed him hell would be his portion. So the Lord set before him something far greater than the treasures of Egypt, and that was a precious Jesus. And in a precious Jesus, everything that he would need, both for his soul and for time and for eternity, were found in Christ. And even in the reproach of Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And then the fourth thing was this. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There was a blessed reward set before dear Moses, and so there was before Ruth, and so there will be before the child of God today, this blessed reward of eternal life. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The things of time, you see, weren't going to get Moses to heaven, but a precious Jesus was. In all that he was to accomplish at Calvary. And I believe the dear servant of God, Moses, had some blessed views, and you can read it in the life and experience of the throughout the Word of God, the views Christ, that Moses had of the Lord Jesus. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And who was this who he viewed that was invisible? A dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. He viewed him by faith. And that's how he could endure. Keeping Christ in view. You see, the trouble is with us, we don't, do we? We look at this trouble, this affliction, this distress, this opposition from Satan and from man, and we're sinking. Always keeping, the dear poet said, Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. And he brought Moses safely through, didn't he? Therefore choose life. And where does this life flow from, you see? It all flows from a precious Jesus. Is he thy life today? You think of it in your soul, and the Lord knows. Is he thy life? And you know, if he's our life, we won't be troubled so much about the things of time and this and that and something else. It all be, am I right before the Lord? Am I a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? You know, we're so often clogged down with things that are perishing. Oh, we are. And you know, the older one gets, the more we feel the great need of having life in our souls and a good hope beyond the grave. Now he set before them blessings and cursings. Now, you may say, well, the blessings we know apply to the child of God, or even in the previous clause in verse 19, he says that I have set before you life or death. Really, these two things apply to the real child of God too, not just to the death to the wicked. It applies to the child of God. Now let me explain it. There are those things the Lord will stamp death on that we have, the real child of God has. There were many things through the wilderness the Lord stamped death on them. Why? So the children of Israel couldn't rest on them, couldn't esteem them as great value. They'd all got death stamped on them. I've told you before, and I will say it again, that when the Lord began to work in my soul, there's one thing I shall never forget. And that is those things that I loved in sport and pleasure and the things of this earth, the day came where the Lord stamped death on them all. And he showed me if I continued in them, eternal death would be my portion. And you see, so this both applies to the child of God. He gives them life. But there are those things he has stamped death on. You cannot go down that or dwell in that, because it's all perishing. Therefore, he says, blessing and cursing. You see, there's you may say, what, cursing to the real child of God? The Lord cursed. There are those things in us the Lord abhors and hates. They are evil before him. All that sin there is in us, all that unbelief, all that pride, all that carnality, all man's works. So it is very searching, this word. And I preach it to myself, and I've had to live in it for the last few days. And it's very solemn. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, he says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, you know, this is further, and I press this word home to my own heart. Therefore, he says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. See how close it comes, both thou and thy seed. You know, there's a word that's ever searched me throughout the Word of God, where the Lord has said that he would visit the sins of the fathers upon their children, even to the fourth generation. And you think how solemn. You know, if we have ever have that word set before us, it'll make us very cautious how we speak, how we live, how we act, because If it's grieving to the Lord could mark it right the way through, even to the fourth generation of our children. You think how solemn. And here he says to them, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And you think how Jacob was so exercised concerning his sons. And we know they did evil regarding Joseph and so on, but how he was so exercised that they might receive the same grace the Lord had blessed him with. You see, the handing down, your late beloved pastor used to often speak about the handing down of the blessings through the generations. And you look at the blessings that descended from Abraham, we have it in the text here, Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and then even to Joseph and Ephraim. It followed right through. this blessing. Therefore, he says, choose life, that both thou, bring it right home to us here, but thou and thy seed may live. And then he gives them the commandment that's in our text. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Now, bring it right home to us each year. May we not just say we love the Lord our God, but may we walk that love out, because where the love of Christ is shed abroad in the soul, it'll flow right the way through their life and how they live and how they walk. We do all things in vain except we do all things in love. That thou mayest love. You think this was a people the Lord had brought out of Egypt? He put in the narrow way through the wilderness, and now he's putting them to the test. Where was their love really? Was it toward the Lord? Or was it toward themselves? Or was it toward man? Or was it toward the world? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Oh, may the Lord favour us with a sweet taste of his eternal love in our souls. You know, those that truly, and this is the test of our religion, those that really love the Lord will continually want the Lord to assure them that he loves them. He loves us. And they want to know the sweet taste of that love more and more. Because so often we look in our hearts, don't we? And we wonder how much love there really is within us. And we say with the hymn writer that we long to know that love more. And if we've ever had a taste of that love, we shall want more of it. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And we read, don't we, in so many occasions, the exhortation the Lord gave them, that thou shouldest love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy very being. Now, one case is very searching that we would set before you, the case of Simon Peter. You know, right the way from the day the Lord called Peter from his fishing boat to serve the Lord, Peter so often manifested that love to the Saviour. When the enemies of Christ spoke against him, Peter was one of the forerunners and of speaking to defend the Saviour and to show his love to the Saviour. But in the hour of temptation, that love wavered. And what did Jesus say to him in that last chapter in John? And he said it three times. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He put Peter to the test, didn't he? And how would you answer that question? And how would I this morning? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And what did Peter have to come to? He had to say this. Thou knowest, O Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee. And you see, deep in Peter's heart was such a love to Christ and to the ways of God and to all that the dear Saviour had accomplished at Calvary. And you, can you say this morning, do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when our hearts are burning with love to the Saviour. And the two that journeyed to Emmaus, what did they say? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? May we know more and more of what it is to have our hearts burning in love to him, to a precious Jesus. And you know, the more we know of the love of Christ in our souls, the more we shall love him. Oh, we will. And not only shall we love the Saviour, but we shall love his people. A special love was given to dear Ruth, wasn't it, to Naomi? It wasn't just a natural love, it was a true God-given love she had to Naomi and to the people of God. And it was love that drew her to them. And it's love that draws the sinner to Christ. And then we shall love his precious word because it'll be life and power to us. And we see love inscribed in it all. Oh, may the Holy Spirit lead us by faith to Calvary, to view love inscribed in all the sufferings, in all the agonies, in all the death of the dear Redeemer. Love was inscribed upon it all. Love to sinners. Love to those that know the Lord. And what does he do? In his love, he calls sinners by his grace. Love brings them out of the world. It draws them to Christ. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And then in love he suffered to put away the sins of his people. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, the dear Saviour says. That thou mayest love the Lord, thy God. Now, do you love him? And then there's a love, and this is a vital point throughout this chapter, you see. Love constrained these dear children of Israel to obey his commandments and to keep them. So many times he says, have not I commanded thee? And you see, in love to the Lord, they kept those commands. And what did the Saviour say to the dear disciples in John 14? He put them there again to the test. And we need testing, you know, and we need our religion tested. As I said at the commencement, Jesus said, and these were his own dear disciples, if ye love me. What would you answer this morning? What would I? If ye love me, keep my commandments. And you see, it is love that constrains sinners to keep his commandments. Oh, it is love. May we know more and more of that precious love of Christ in our souls. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It's a clear command to them that love him, isn't it? And here he says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. And you see, love will make a person willing, won't it? I've often said that if we really love a person, we'll do anything for them, if there's real love. And think about it spiritually. If we really love the Lord, we'll do exactly what he tells us. Oh, we will. And here it is so clear, isn't it, that thou mayest obey his voice. Obedience, you see. The Lord makes his dear people willing to be obedient to what he tells them and what he constrains them in. And in love they venture to follow in his ways. Oh, may there be those times sweetly known throughout Zion as in days past, where the Lord so manifested his love that there were those full of the love of Christ and they couldn't hold their peace any longer. What do we read? If these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. Why? Because they are full of the love of Christ. Go back to the Emmaus Road where their heart burned within them. They got something to tell when they got to the destination, didn't they? Because they were so full of that love of Christ, their hearts burned in love to him. And in love they could speak. And in love they could be obedient to his voice. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. He says, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest obey his voice. Obey his voice. Oh, may the Lord make us willing ever to obey his precious voice. And just in conclusion, because the time's gone, but may we know something of the sweet voice of the Saviour. How soft the words my Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. You see a bruised reed, he will not forsake them. Oh no. You may feel poor and you may say to this morning, well, I feel my love is so cold and faint. And yet I hope I can say I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Well, I scratched around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts, that it may be laid deep in our hearts and we might be really exercised, that we might know the realities of this precious word. Well, for his name's sake, I'll leave it. Amen.